Mesdames et messieurs, nous commençons.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's get started with our press conference. I've been in this room many times, but rarely have I been as proud as I am today because of the guests that we have with us. We'll try and keep things short because but what I want to say is the Parliament has decided to put culture at the heart of its programme, and I think this is very interesting. In the hemicycle, you could see there was a good turnout. It was full because we'd suspended the parliamentary session for it, and I think it shows the importance of the cinema in Europe. I haven't introduced everybody because it's already been done earlier, and as I was telling our guests, today is an anniversary for us. It's 80 years ago today that the first talking film came out. So that was a huge change. Now, 80 years later, we're taking another step into the future as well in terms of language, because in the past, it is true that cinemas had difficulty with addressing the language issue. And here in the European Parliament, we're kind of a Tower of Babel here with all of the different languages that we use. But that's a wealth for a European system. It's not an obstacle. And this is something that we wanted to highlight through these three wonderful works that we had for the prize. I'm now going to hand over to Mrs. Pack, who's on the Culture Committee, and she's going to give you details on this. I'm speaking German.
I'm delighted. I'm delighted to arrive at this day of celebration. We have with us the actors in some of the films. We're very honoured with that. We have Madame Chiboulin, Mr. Piccoli, and also our colleagues. And we have the promise that we shall continue with this endeavour. We've had the Lux Prize, and there will be more in the future. And what I'd like to underscore at this stage, as we've said on other occasions, is that we really feel that the European Union needs images. The European Union needs images in order to convey something of what we see as the European mission. And if you listen to what people say, they will say the Americans have done this very well and we haven't done so far. We're not just here to engage in European politics. What we ought to be looking at as well is the European vision, a cultural vision. And I think today we are engaged in something very important. There's no sum of money being awarded to the prize winners because we're much more concerned about doing something else, strengthening cultural diversity by having the film in question, the prize winner, translated into 23 languages. That's what we'd like to see, so that the good European films, wherever they come from, get a broad viewing. And, of course, it's expensive to do that. You need the channels to do it. You need subtitling. You need synchronization. What we've done here, at least we hope, is to create the opportunity for at least one film to be shown in all these countries, and we're very proud of this achievement. We are going to continue, and together with Mr. Onessa, whose idea this was, and the Culture Committee and all the staff, I hope we will manage to carry on this endeavour into the future, and we will certainly try to do that.
Just a few words from our invited guests before we take questions from journalists. Mrs. Chigola, please go ahead. You can tell us why you're here, how you feel, and the hopes you have for the future of European cinema. I thought I'd already said everything. Why am I so happy about the choice of the film? Well, it's not just because I appear in the film. People involved, and not even... There isn't even really a central character. I think what makes me so happy is that this film has made an effort to focus on hope, i.e. not to wait for things to be done from the top, but to actually become involved. And this also shows that it is possible to deal with the greatest losses that we suffer in life, not just in terms of society. The film does reflect that, but it also reflects what has been said by a poet whose name I can't remember: "The greatest scandal in life is death." I think that our society has lost all of the different rituals associated with death and with loss and grief. And now when somebody dies, it becomes very difficult to try and mourn or grieve properly, because in some way society wants to get beyond this whole situation so quickly, beyond the loss. But now, with the interests of young people in society, and with the taboos which still exist, we are seeing more attention being given to the issue of loss. Now, it doesn't focus on death in a metaphysical sense by saying that this is what's waiting for us at the end of the road, or nobody really knows what happens afterwards. But it focuses more on what's left behind. When somebody dies, they leave somebody else behind, and often try to find generous giving solutions so that people who might normally fall into the trap of bitterness can actually find some way of conserving a little of the person who dies. And in this sense, through these gestures, I think we can see in the film a source of inspiration. It's not just a stock-taking of what has been, but more suggests what can be in the future as well.
D'Olivera.
Thank you very much. We're now going to hand over to Manuel D'Olivera.
Well, what could I say? In point of fact, you have been talking about death, and no one is born of his own will. This is something which just happens. Am I coming across clearly? Good, thank you. But when someone is born, they are born with one certainty, and that is that one day they will die. That's why we are born, in a way. We are born in order to die. That's the only certainty we have. And life can be one which is suffered. Some people have a hard time. Those who are favoured are in the minority. And death can bring a kind of rest, a kind of relief for people when their lives do not run according to plan and do not bring the things they would wish. But I would not agree that we are born to die. I think we are born to live, and one of the ways of continuing that life after death is culture. It's the arts, literature in the first instance, theatre, cinema. This is the way we can go on after death, because these are sources of life and they simulate life as another form of art. And cinema turns mortal life into some kind of more long-lasting life. and it's a source of light which goes on. Right at the very beginning of life, when the first forms of life appeared, we did not really have humanity as such, but humanity is the mark of our lives now, and this is what we speak of as artists. We have to speak, however, not of the future, as we imagine it, but only the present or the past, turning the past into some kind of present. Because the future, it is the politicians who will be preparing the future, not the artists. The artists, in a way, film the results of the politicians' efforts. That's what artists are there for. They're not there to generate any kind of future life. Because the future will always be an unknown land. We cannot possibly know whether this law or that proposal, however worthy it may be, will lead to a successful outcome or not. The future is always an unknown land. And the work of the European Union is praiseworthy in that it is providing support for perhaps the weaker countries and peoples who have more difficulty in their life in the present to try to improve standards throughout for everyone and to try to introduce greater equality and a better livelihood and way of life for people throughout the world. This is what the European Union seeks to do, continues to do, and all of this is extremely praiseworthy. But it's extremely difficult as well. So as far as the European Union is concerned, I would express my congratulations and my best wishes. And I hope that things work out well and that your work continues to bear fruit. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Now we'll now hear from Mr. Philippe Avery, who's the director of 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. It's extremely difficult to follow on from Manuel and from these very touching, profound words that he's just used, but. I suppose I could say that Christian Voulieu made a feature film with a very small budget and a very high risk. He wanted to talk about the end of communism in his country and was based on a very solid script, a universe or a story of universal appeal. And there's also a feeling that, or there's also the fact that the film can appeal to many people throughout the whole world and has managed to cross many different social boundaries. And I think that's very encouraging. And the fact that it was selected by the European Parliament is also a very strong indicator that the cinema throughout the world doesn't really need a high performance promotional efforts or doesn't need to be in the mainstream in order to communicate with people.
Je n'ai absolument rien compris au discours de Manuel.
Well, I haven't managed to understand anything that Manuel de Oliveira said. But in any case, I never really understand what he says ever. especially when he's directing. The marvellous thing about him, though, is, joking apart, that he doesn't direct in a strict sense. He has such a powerful look, so much force of character, in his text as well, which communicates the rhythm to be adopted by the actor in order to act out what needs to be done. As a director, he's has this marvelous ability to give the actor enough space to allow them to do their job, and that's quite rare. It's magnificent when it's possible. It's really wonderful. I'm quite happy to be here today and to take part in this event and to be here with the at the Parliament. It's a historic occasion, I feel, and I think that all films are historic to some degree. For 80 years they've been explaining what's going on throughout the world, what's going on in our countries, how humanity is developing. Films speak to us of all these things. I think one of the greatest betrayals of the cinema market is the whole issue of dubbing. Here, when it's used, the voices of actors don't come through. That's their way of expression. It would be just as ridiculous if a classical or rock music concert use the dubbing for accordions or for saxophones and so on. The voice or the sound of an actor's voice is of crucial importance. A Hungarian actor doesn't have the same voice as a German actor or a Chilean actor. So the voice is an essential part of the actor's expression and is part of the message of the director and of the film, where the country that the film comes from. And one of the big, I think, betrayals of the whole art of filmmaking is that we don't hear the actor's voice, we don't hear the director's voice, we don't hear the writer's message. So I'm very grateful to be here, and I'd like to thank the Parliament for taking the decision regarding this prize. You might say it's just one film, but really it's just the beginning. It should be for 27 films, really, because we've got 27 countries now. We're going to be 28 soon, but in a few years' time, I think. Since I don't speak Turkish, I'm very happy to hear that the films which are dubbed normally will actually be subtitled, and that I won't be speaking with a Turkish voice, for example, i.e. the dubbing actor's voice, but the film will be subtitled. This is part of the artistic and political struggle within the field of cinema. And I've always thought that the artistic and the political sphere are actually brothers. They sit together. Thank you very much. Any questions? I'm from Le Monde. Gérard, I've got a question for you. I know that you've had a huge role in this, and that the cinemas were full to the gunnels. But what we've actually heard is that only 44 MEPs voted for the winner. Could you tell us if that's true? And if it is true, do you not think there's a real amount of work to be done for the future on that?
Colleague.
Okay, if we look at the statistics, 44 of the 44 of the MEPs actually saw the films and voted on them. There were some others who didn't actually vote, but who saw them. Now, when we set this up, we did set ourselves a goal. If the jury at the European Parliament had been as numerous as the one from Cannes, and from Venice, from Berlin, and from San Sebastian, just to take the four major festivals together, that would have been a success. Now, the total number of jury members for these four festivals is 32. Now, what we've got with our jury are members from all of the major political groups, and I think that's a reasonable achievement. Now, of course, we will be asking for more effort in the future, but There were a lot of films to see in a short period of time, and I think that 54 voters on a film jury is actually exceptional, especially when we're just starting out. And I hope in the future things will work better, because the schedule for the whole thing will be more in line with the work that MEPs have to do.
J'ai répondu à la même question.
I just wanted to come back on this. The figure actually represents 7%. I'd like the French cultural budget to be 7% as well, and I wish that the European cultural budget was 7% too. There are some colleagues who saw only one or two films, didn't manage to see all of them. If you look at our timetables, it's actually very difficult for us. You need to set rules from the beginning, or otherwise you really don't have enough time. But next year we hope to achieve better results, but I think 54 is not bad, to be honest. Any other questions?
Justine Sauvage pour...
Justine Sauvage, Radio France. Question on figures again. The dates. Can you tell us when the copies will actually be out? Well, we're going to send out the order for the subtitles today, and we hope that before December the copies will actually be subtitled, and this will mean that the winning producers can have a copy in all of the European languages, and the subtitles obviously, and this will mean that it can then go on release in cinemas and at festivals as well. That's one way of doing things, but it could be said that only one copy isn't very much, but the copy will actually be available, and that's quite important. Now, in the future, some films are already subtitled in several languages, so I think that's an achievement too. This will help to disseminate the works, for example, as DVDs, which can then be sent to hospitals, to universities. The idea here is that the European Parliament will help a major industry, which is part of the cultural sphere. The major employer in Europe is actually the cultural sector, cinema, actors, and acting, distribution, and so on. We've got a real driving force for European society, and the Parliament's involved in that. Any other questions?
Il me reste à vous remercier, à remercier une fois encore tous nos invités. Si il y a 24 heures encore, on se disait, est-ce qu'il y aura une édition numéro 2 du Prix Lux? Parce que les organes avaient dit oui, c'était le début. Je crois que, vu l'accueil aujourd'hui, disons-le, triomphal, que vous avez reçu par nos collègues dans l'hémicycle, le Prix Lux et la culture... Est...
Given the reception for the... of this, I think...